The pirate joke happened quicker than I thought it would. Some of my younger friends would call that micro-racist. It's pretty good. Oh, my God. My name is Chris Raymer. I'm very grateful recovered alcoholic. I got sober November 13th, 1987. Finally. And, God, look at this crap. Is this Friday night? Yeah. This is really unusual, guys. I'm talking at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Is this a Crystal Meth Anonymous meeting? Y'all just stayed up all night? What? I was prepared to talk to 20 people. I mean, oh my God. Bless your hearts. I got to, yeah. Thank JD for picking me up, and that's always a good sign. And Ben and anybody else that had anything to do with me coming. I know that when a bunch of alcoholics get together, it's a cool deal and God's there, but some of these conferences I'm almost speechless how many people I've got to meet and got to see, and you guys have it's pretty amazing. I tell you, my mama used to say it, I wish we could see that kind of love in our churches. Yeah. Yeah, you'll never see anything like it, I got to tell you. I'm delighted to be here, guys. I'm from Ingram, Texas, and that's down about 60 miles northwest of San Antonio. I'm right down at the center, and I got my little trusty Timex Expedition. I'm watching the clock closer than you smokers. I should be done by noon, so, you know. No. It's any opportunity to get the chance to do this. I want to give you just a real quick little shoe in here, and then I want to talk about steps 4 and 5. And I'm going to tell you going in the door, I've got, in talking about 4 and 5, there's a, there's some little printouts and that I could send you if you email me. I started to print some out. I'm thinking, that's stupid. I'd have to work 2 jobs to get that many printouts. And so I just, but I can send them to you in an email, click, click, like that in a heartbeat. So y'all take a picture of my little business card. It's my little AA card. And you can send me and I'll send that information. But I started drinking at 17. Somebody was talking about last night about a bottle of Boone's Farm apple wine. And all the old hippies in here smile, and all you little young guys, you look around like, "What's that?" I said, "Yeah, on your next relapse, go find some of that." It's good. But those speakers we had, Tammy and Cliff, and all this. I can't believe I get to share the podium with some of my absolute heroes here. Look at Mr. Cleveland. Oh, my God. There's Peter Melanelli. I'm going to get his little autograph after this. These are people I've known forever, folks. I don't know. I was an uncomfortable little cuss, folks. Little skinny one-eyed guy. I just nervous all the time. And I drank that bottle of Boone's Farm in November. January 1971, the year that Bill Wilson passed away, I took my first drink. And I lit up like I'll never forget that night, walking back across that field with a big shitty grin on my face. And yes, I was John Travolta. God. Buddy, when alcohol works, your families will never understand. He's drinking to escape. No, I'm not. I'm drinking to finally be present in my skin. A lot of nodding heads. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus. Anyway, I come from a really good family. There was no crazy stuff going on. And my twin brother and I caught the bullet. There is a genetic predisposition here, guys. You could look up both sides of my family tree and give it a good kick, and little alcoholics and addicts will drop out like pecans on a windy day. You know, but I got 2 sisters that have never had a problem. Y'all hear me talk about it all the time. We've been trying to get them drunk forever. They're having none of it. You know, that's okay. Same family, guys. I got so many people. Full disclosure, I've done clerical work at treatment centers for 30 years, and it's I can't tell you how many times I'm talking to a family member or something, and, well, we were a little disappointed. We thought you would get down to the causes of why my husband drinks. He's an alcoholic. Everybody wants to connect the dot. There's something here causing me to drink. Guys, let me tell you something. I got to get it out of the way because we're talking about four-step stuff. Trauma is the fertile ground that alcoholism can explode in. But genetically, you got that predisposition. I know a lot of people who were traumatized that didn't bring their life down around them by drinking. It can affect it. If I have a flat tire in the rain didn't have much to do with the flat tire, but it's going to be a bitch to fixing that tire. Y'all got it's a lot heavier lifting. You know, I would never make light of any of that. I'm just saying we got to put it into perspective. I spent a lifetime once I started trying to get sober, trying to fix all this external stuff. Any of you guys, Cliff did a beautiful job talking about it. Like, if I could just get this and this and this, all my little ducks in a row, everything would be okay. Guys, I've had my ducks in a row several times. I mean, quack, quack, quack. In Texas, it's pretty simple. You know, it's girl, job, pickup truck. Score! I thought that was what the circle triangle was all about. I maybe they can put that in the plain language. Stop, Chris. Stop. Quit. Real 19. Sorry. In the early 80s, I'm a professional chef, and I'm working, and I'm trying to get, like I said, when alcohol was working, it was working good, and I was okay, and I'm not getting in a lot of trouble. I'm not doing a lot of things that some of y'all did. I'm not getting robbing liquor stores and running around naked, and one time I did do that, but not on a regular basis like some of you losers. I mean, I'm just like, oh my God. I got married, and of course that'll fix everything. And she was a sweetheart, guys. I moved her up to North Texas to be closer to my twin brother. And I came home one night. This is early '80s. Everybody's doing that outside issue stuff. It's kind of white, and you stick it up your nose. I've done a little bit of that, and I came home, and there was a pushing match, and I come from a family, we don't do that. She asked me to leave, and I did, and came back a couple hours later. We had the talk. Y'all need to hear this, guys, because every time I share it, I looked her in the face with tears in my eyes and promised her that I was never going to touch another drop. And I meant it with every fiber in my body. Always somebody wants to make a joke. Oh, you know, alcoholics, mouth moving, he's lying. It's just not true, guys. Some of you is dishonest to the core. It's not a prerequisite for alcoholism. When I told her that I was going to stop, I meant it. I was tired of doing it. It was affecting my career and my relationships. I'm done. And a week and a half later, I drank a beer. I went to AA the next day, and they were the nicest, sweetest people on earth. And I got barraged by an endless list of one-liners, and you keep coming back, and you're the most important person here, and we touched a lot. They just got a hug. She left, and I had 7 more years sitting in the meetings with arms folded, waiting to be offended. You're not doing it right at this group, obviously, because I can't pick up a 30-day chip. Okay, I'm not taking a shot at anybody, guys, but I'm 7 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have a big book, and I don't have a sponsor. I've never worked a single step. But all we're doing is focusing on the idea. Go to meetings. Meeting makers make it. 90 meetings, 90 days. Meetings. You've got to go to a meeting every day. You come back in and relapse. Well, you just need to double up on your meetings. Well, God dang, I'm going to 3 a day. What do you want me to do? Move to the AA club? I mean, 87, I tried to commit suicide. I'm on 7 prescription medications a day. I've got a psychiatrist, a doctor. Y'all thought everybody's trying to help me get well. I can stop for periods of time. I can stop for 2 weeks just to piss you off. You know, I just can't stay stopped. That gradually, that pain of not drinking one stupid day at a time outweighs the benefits in my head. And I go, you know what? The heck with this. And I'm out. I didn't choose to drink. I have lost the power of choice. I didn't know that, but I drank. Ended up back in a room. A little girl stopped me from leaving. I got real self-conscious. I'll never forget it. She got between me and the door. Sit down, cowboy. You're not going anywhere. Stuck. Oh, my God. The courage it took. I'm 30 years old, and she got me a cup of coffee, and her sponsor was across the room, couldn't get to me. She says, get him. They went around the room that night and they shared a bunch of hope with me. And I get criticized all over. I get emails from all over the world where I get to speak. And you think meetings should all be pep rallies? Yeah. Guys, I spent 7 years in rooms where people insisted on the idea that they could scare the little one I got into recovery. If you ever find yourself saying this, folks, and you don't want to end up like me, do you? Stab yourself. Just stop. You can't scare an alcoholic into recovery. It's not. You might scare him into treatment, but you're not going to scare him into recovery. I got to get going on this. These guys, after the meeting, they stopped and asked me if I wanted to stay sober, and they finally opened a big book and they qualified me. They showed me that circle triangle and they explained what a physical craving and the mental obsession was about. And for the first time, I went home that night and knew that I was an alcoholic. Guys, I mean, I was crying because I was relieved. God, I got a fatal illness, but at least now I know what it is. I didn't have all those psychiatric disorders. What I had was untreated alcoholism. They said, Chris, if you'll work these steps quick with us, you can have a spiritual experience and that obsession will go away and you can go kick some butt. Oh, I did. Tammy was talking about it last night. She was talking about Clancy and his directness. Guys, let me tell you something. Being direct is not being mean. Sometimes we just got to get... Those old guys, I'd go to the tapers. Thank God for the tapers. You know, I mean, I'd go to a conference and look around like that and says, Chris, have you heard this guy over here? He's got, and they showed me Clancy's tapes. I grew up with the guy. You know, I grew up listening to speakers that had some depth and weight. They were saying something besides, you know, one endless, yeah. They got me the next day and we did a second and third step prayer after the 10 o'clock meeting, and then we went and got some Mexican food and came back and they gave me a notebook and said, let's start working on that 4-step. Day 2, I'm detoxing and I'm working on a 4-step. Two weeks later, I've got a completed 4-step. I had it finished before that, but my sponsor was out of town. And we got it, and we dumped a little 5th step. And for the first time, I felt a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. It was quick. The thing I wanted to mention, so many people, you hear them in meetings all the time, that are criticized. I get emails all over. Well, Chris, you need to understand, this is not a race. Yes, it is. What people don't talk about so many times, guys, is the progression of the illness. Ask any of us that have been in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for years, y'all follow? And it gets harder and harder and harder. Not because we get weaker and weaker, guys, it's the progression of the illness. It's tougher the second time or the third time or the fourth. I watch them come back to treatment. You know, it's, God damn, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. And it travels different speeds, different people. I know people that drank in 30, 40 years and never had much problem. And then towards the end of our lives, things turned to crap. I know one of the worst alcoholics I ever worked with was 19 years old. He had 2 drunk driving charges, blacked out both times. He was an in-stage alcoholic at 19. Y'all follow? If you happen to be one of these where it goes really slow, maybe you can take your time. We want you to wait 90 days before you even pick up that old big book. And after that, we're going to take a year to work the step. Listen, nobody out there is trying to hurt us. You teach what you're taught. I'm just saying, folks, I've watched a lot of people die, not because they went too fast, because they went too slow. The book says on this 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Oh, I've got a solution for you, but we're going to let you wait a year to do it. What? Read the history. When I send you that little 4-step guide straight out of the big book, I'll also send you a little list of some websites you can look at, some history sites. None of those people in the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous, oh, by the way, when our success rates were 75%, none of those people were taking long periods of time to work the steps. They were going quick. So, when I sit down with a little newcomer, folks, we do a little third step prayer. First thing I'm going to do is qualify them. I got a little quick qualifying guide I use. I'm literally, just like those old timers, it took them 30 minutes to qualify me with the first step. I know some of you guys sit and read with your sponsees. That's so cool. I got a lifetime to read that book. Right now, what I need to do is get on some solid ground. And I'm not going to get on some solid ground unless I work those steps. And I'm not going to work those steps unless I'm convinced I need to. Everybody says they're willing. I'm willing to go to any length. Yeah, right up until the point we ask you to do some heavy lifting, like a 4-step. And then you start crawfishing. Well, let me think about this God stuff. I'm not sure I want to play that. Okay, here we go. That didn't take long. It's like, no. I sit down and we do a little third step prayer after that. And same day. And then we get up and I got my trusty date planner. I use a little paper one. Because I'm old and feeble and can't figure out how to do that. I open it up like that, and a week from now, I'm going to do your fifth step. So I'm going to show them how to do it. I'm magnanimous about it. Yeah, the older guys, they used to do it in an afternoon. I'm going to sit down there with them, and I'm going to guide them, and I'm going to show them how to do it, and then we're going to do a fifth step. Get it and get, folks. Because sooner or later, that obsession is going to come back, and you're either going to get well or you're not. If the obsession comes back, I don't care how much you want to stay sober, you're going to drink. So we got to. The problem isn't our past, it's our refusal to accept it as a past. My past made me stronger, not because it happened, but because I got through it. Golly, guys, do you realize we could change the world with the information, the knowledge, and the love that we have in this room? We should all be dead. You know, we got our feet on the ground, and all of a sudden, it's just breathtaking. There's two places in the steps where we get bogged down, guys. Right after the third step prayer, y'all got it? We do the little third step prayer, and then there's a little line in down at the bottom. It says, next, we launch down on a course of vigorous action. Yeah, look, I got a pen. Take the visual. To heck with your PowerPoints. I got this. We launched out on a course of vigorous action. Guys, launch. What is that visual? Come on, guys. We got to go. No, we're in there. It says, oh, after a third step prayer, then we chill out for a while and get comfortable and go to 90 more meetings. And then we're going to... Then wants us to get this stuff done. We lose them there, and then we lose them after 6 and 7. While we're getting ready to do our 8-step list and our 9-step stuff, we let them sit. We let them sit until they just go crazy. And that's just, yeah, that's not what we want to do. First thing we got to do with the guys that I'm working with, I'm going to make the list first. I know some people, they want to do it all at the same time, put it on the little columns, you know, that we do. And I have had a board here. I could show you what I'm talking about. But I think most of y'all have done it. Y'all have seen the forms. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But make the list first. We're going to make a list of people, institutions, and principles that we're pissed at. Okay? Y'all know people, right? Yeah. Turds. I know. We're going to put institutions or groups of people. Got it? Principles, ideas, and belief systems that we hold. Yeah. Guys, I'm going to say it. As an old man looking, talking, I'm just going to say it. I've never seen this country so divided, so divisive on every... It doesn't matter what you say, somebody's pissed off about it. It's just, I don't know. Start writing. I don't want to carry that stuff around. I don't want to be that grumpy old bastard sitting in the back taking everybody's inventory. been there, done that. I don't want to do that. Make the list first. There was I was in Atlanta, Georgia, doing a talk one time, and this guy comes up, and I do this little talk. It's a big old group, and there's 200 people come up afterwards, and you don't want to shake your hand, and they want to go smoke quick, so let's go. And the guy comes up, and he's got about 5 notebooks, and his book comes up. He's dropping pens and stuff, and he says, "Chris, I need to show you. I want to show you my 4-step." He says, I had 1,500 names on my inventory. If you do an inventory like this, selfish and self-centeredness will disappear immediately. Yeah, and you're standing in line, want to talk to me about your 4-step, and there's 200 people up here just want to pat me on the head and go smoke. You know, selfish and self-centeredness has not disappeared. I didn't say that, but I 1,500 names. Who are you, Damien? Are you just little satanic? I mean, oh my God, you hated everybody you ever came in contact with? God. I guess I'd rather see you put down the top 10 or 20 resentments you've got and get this thing done. And then, but you can go back, guys. I do a 4-step every year. I do it on the back of an envelope. Just jot it down, and just so I can stay clear of that stuff. You can. Come on, guys. I've heard people like that. I forgot to put that person's name on my inventory. That's not why you relapsed, Turd. That's not. Let me put it another way, guys. I asked God, I said, "God, show me the people I'm pissed at." Okay? Got that. If you haven't thought of that person in 20 years, don't put his name down there. That you're wasting your time. There was this kid in kindergarten stop. Some of y'all are grinding your teeth. Well, he was a... No. He wasn't. All right, I'm going to show you something real quick. I don't care if I'm talking here or Europe or I don't care where I'm speaking. I've shared the podium with Peter several places. Anytime I'm talking from the podium and I mention this, yeah, put your name on the list. I can't tell you. I'll do this at a workshop. And I'll take a little break. Okay, we're going to be back in 15 minutes. And they'll start lining up. Bam, bam, bam. They'll start lining up, coming up. Well, Chris, I agreed with everything you said, but that my sponsor told me that I'm not supposed to put my name on the list. Top of page 66. To conclude that others were wrong was far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. Who do we put on a 4-step? People we're sore at. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If I treated any one of you in here the way you treat yourself, they would arrest my skinny little butt. You want to know who your worst enemy is? It's you. You're the one playing the spiritual warfare on a daily basis. I'm a worthless piece of shit. I could never get that job. I don't know why she would even go out with me. I don't know. Oh, be quiet. Y'all follow? Yeah. Bunch of you in here doing the same thing I did for years. It's called the victim card. All you got to do is throw it. Everybody backs up. It's a shitty way to live. It's effective because people will leave you alone. Just put your name on the list, guys. It's just real simple. Once we got the list and we can draw the little diagrams, in that first column, we're going to put who we're pissed at. Mom. Moms and dads always on there. You got it. Coworker, whoever. Groups of people. You got institutions. And them damn Democrats. It's a... (clears throat) And be brief. You don't need to write it all down. You got enough, you know, just make a couple little notes and just draw it down. One of the biggest complications in doing a fourth, fifth step is you want to write too damn much. This is not a novel. They are not going to publish it. I will say this. Be careful what you do when you start writing this four-step stuff, because I've known more than one occasion where they showed up in a court of law. You're writing this stuff down. Y'all follow? It is not protected by law. Yeah, or confidentiality. Just be careful. Don't leave it out. I see people all the time. They got their notebook and they put a big four on it. You know, your wife has been going to Al-Anon. She knows what that is, and she's going to open it up. Let's see what he says about me. You know, open it up. Now, okay. Welcome to divorce court. Okay. Third column, we're going to put the people that are affected. I mean, how this stuff affected us. Did it affect my self-esteem? Did it hurt, threaten, or interfere how I feel about myself? Yeah. Did it affect my pride, how others feel about me, my ambition, what I want to be okay, my security, what I need to be okay? All of this is right there in the book, guys. There's nothing added to this. This is what we're doing. Did it affect my personal relationships? Did it affect my pocketbook? You may have all of those areas. You may have one or two areas. But it's a numbers game. When you start seeing how these resentments affect so many areas of your life, golly, guys, you go, what the hell? No wonder I'm anxious. How many of us have gone to the doctor? I'm feeling anxious. Yeah. Benzo will fix that in a heartbeat. And you can come back and pick up another desire chip, just like I had to do 1,000 times. Yeah. Fourth column is just real, real clear, guys. Fourth column is where the miracle happens. In those first three columns, guys, we can be the victim. We can play it. Y'all follow? They hurt me. This is how it affected me. Yeah, I got you. Fourth column, we're going to stop. We're going to look and see for our mistakes. Okay? If y'all listen to any old talks I've ever done in workshops, I would always say the same thing so many of y'all do when you're instructing your sponsees. Let's look at our part now. Stop. The book doesn't say that. I'd have bet you $1,000 it did. It doesn't. I was talking up in Seattle one time, and I was doing a little four-step workshop like this, and this nice elderly man came up after, and he said, "Chris, you know, he thanked me. He was as kind as could be. Appreciate that. And I just need to ask you a little quick question about that fourth column." And I'm ready. Okay, you betcha. And he said, "Chris, I need to tell you, I was molested as a child, and I can assure you I didn't play a part in that." Well, you know, I did, like the book said, make some mistakes around it. You got? He said, "I've made everybody in my life pay for that over and over." Okay. Old man taught me a lesson. I would never be hurtful like that. I'm just not paying attention. A lot of things, guys, we're not balancing this out. Y'all understand? If you might see this person that harmed me in a situation like that, for God's sake, I mean, this huge piece of nastiness that affected my life. If I can come over here and see one little chicken shit mistake that I made, I can get free of the resentment. If I can't, I'll continue to remain a victim. I've said it from 1,000 podiums, folks. Victimized people get sober every day. Victims don't. Man, I look at people coming into treatment. I look at guys of the sea of guys that I've had the honor to be able to sponsor. And I look at their, just how in the world did we survive all the crazy stuff that's gone on? But I don't want to continue to carry that stuff around. I remember my dad, as I get older, I can so see the areas of our lives. He was going to pass away in a week. We were sitting on the front row up in the front porch. He was going to pass away soon. And we were in a nursing home, and he didn't have any idea he was going to pass away. Sitting out there smoking Camels one after another. Just like Bill Wilson. Just steady smoking. Oh, my God. Y'all go to Stepping Stones and look at the desk. A bunch of us were up there. Not long. Oh, my God. Y'all got to go. How many of y'all been to Stepping Stones? Raise your hand. Okay, now come on. That was three of you. Okay. No, it's a bucket list for me. I never would have gone. I'll tell you the story later if y'all want to hear it. But I'm sitting, looking at the desk right there. We weren't supposed to be in there, but we, you know, got a chance to see it. And his desk is just little cigarette burns all along the desk where he's sitting in there smoking, working on the 12 and 12. And I'm a huge history buff watching that. But anyway, pops is smoking and up there grinding his teeth about a guy. This guy ruined my credit. Okay, the guy that ruined his credit has been dead for 30 years. The hardware store had burnt down long before that in Odessa, Texas. Y'all, it's like, but my dad's spending the last days of his life grinding his teeth about something that he's got no, boy, could he have used a four-step. I don't want to continue to carry all of this crap around. My old sponsor Mark used to say it, how free do you want to be? You just want to not drink one day at a time? Okay, you can have that. Or do you want to be free? I'm going to say it, guys. If y'all think that this is just about not drinking one stupid day at a time, you've missed what all of us are speaking about up here this weekend. This is about getting out there and kicking some butt, folks. I've always said it. This is about getting up there and going to get that job that you've always wanted. Going back to school. Painting some pictures. Taking some trips. Get your passport. You young guys in here, get your passport. You're going to need them. You know, the sky. You can't just sit there. I can't do anything. I'm an alcoholic. I'm so just... You're right. You're absolutely disgusting. Okay, come on. Get sober and let's go. Okay. Get that little fourth column deal done and move on to the next deal real quick. Fear and sex inventory. I'm watching that clock. You just hang on. The fear inventory is, I'm on page 67, 68. We're talking specifically about the fears. It's two columns. I was talking to somebody the other day, somebody ages ago, back in the day, had sent me a four-step guide that was as thick as this. I mean, no shit. 184 pages of just, like, really? It's just not that complicated. I've seen four-step guides out there where they have like eight columns. The big book asked me this, what's the fear? And why do you think you have it? Because it's going to tell you because you're full of shit, this is why you have it. Because self-reliance failed us, okay? And we're going to move, and we're going to look at it. It's just real simple. I was shocked, though, when I got to look at it. I was talking, Mark was my old sponsor, and I said, I don't have to worry about that fear inventory. I'm not really afraid of anything. He said, Chris, are you afraid of getting sick? This was in the early 90s, guys. Everybody was afraid of getting AIDS. We were just all freaked out, and everybody, sure. You afraid of being broke? Well, yeah. I mean, everybody's afraid of getting, yeah. You afraid of women? Well, that's a cheap damn shot. Yeah. I'm looking down. Yeah. He said, Chris, why don't you just make another little list of maybe the things that you're not afraid of? You could put little bunny rabbits on there and it'll be a lot quicker. You know, okay. But when I got to sit and I started writing it down, it was amazing to me how many areas of my life I'm absolutely afraid of. When I got sober in 1987, folks, I had symptoms of malnutrition. Not because I didn't have money for food, but because I was afraid to go into the grocery store. Y'all thought, too many people, just fear. One of the best lines in the book, I used to make fun of Bill Wilson, you know, it was an evil and corroding thread. Yeah. It affects every area of my life. Put it on the list. It's just we'll go take a look at it. This sex inventory thingy, and because I'm a virgin, I just... Why are you laughing? There again, it gets crazy when I watch people do this and they want to write this novel. I was doing the four-step stuff, the instructions, and this guy came over to the house, and this guy I'm sponsoring, and he says, oh, we did the resentment inventory and the fear inventory, and we got to the sex inventory. He said, oh, now we get to talk about them women. He got a big grin on his face. I said, no, we're not going to do this now. He says, I got a friend, and she can hear your fifth step. The smile went off his face. Y'all thought, yeah. You want to sit there and get giggly about the way you treat God's kids? Uh-uh. This doesn't have much to do with pokey pokey, folks. That's a clinical term. I can use that. The big book talks to us on page 69, gives us the instructions. Yeah, tell me that's not a typo. The big book is asking us to answer 9 questions. It's just that simple. I don't need this goddamn novelette. You'll follow, this big old long drawn out. Well, I met her here and we did this and we did that. And you'll follow. And then, oh my God, 2 years later, I met her again. Stupid. I don't care. Speakers out there that talk about, y'all remember the day Michael Keaton, what was the name of that movie, Clean and Sober, when he sits down and does a fifth step and he's got 2 little pages of notebook paper and the sponsors, they're eating Sundays, big old guy, you know, it's like, that's the way, everybody's making fun of it up in North Texas, oh, that's so stupid, you can't do a fifth step like that. Yeah, you can, if you're not being all long-winded. 9 questions, everything in that. Any kind of relationship that you were in, especially if it was consummated in a romantic kind of a way, absolutely, do an inventory on them. Simple. What actions of mine were selfish? Pretty obvious. Lots of different areas. What actions of mine were dishonest? Did you ever tell somebody you loved them and you didn't? Bunch of stuff there, folks. Did you ever cheat on? Did y'all put it down? What actions of mine were inconsiderate? Oh. I'm 36 years sober, guys, and I got to tell you, I did this not long ago because I had to put it down in my relationship with Patty, my wife, and we sit there right there at the front of our AA club, and there, as you come into the big room, and I got a little book station set up, so we're selling big books up there for the club and for anybody. So many newcomers come in that area, and I'm sitting in there, and it's picking up. We have 130 people in there on a Wednesday night. And this little girl walks in with no clothes on, and I went, damn. And I'm looking at this little girl, and then Patty's sitting right here. I can see her. If she'd been over here, I couldn't. Y'all get that? But she... And I'm looking over there, and Patty's not looking at the little girl. She's looking at me. Y'all are... Pay attention, folks. Pay attention. If old big old Hulk had walked in like that, she's, God dang, look at that. What the hell? We'd have had a conversation. My sensitive little feelings, yeah. Who was hurt by my actions in this relationship? We always want to put our name, you know, we want to put their name down. Okay, I dated her. Listen, folks, there was a sea of women that I dated over the years who had kids. Y'all, I don't know if y'all noticed, I got this little black eye patch thing, and you know, I'm not in the house 5 seconds, and we're talking pirate ship nonstop. You know, and the little kids, they're loving it. We're playing. It's just, yeah. And then 6 months later, I get tired of the lady and whatever, and I just walk away. Now, there were the in-laws that loved me to death, thought this was going to be the one. Y'all follow? And all those little kids, a heart I broke because I just disappeared. Folks, a lot of my amends came from this little part right here. I hurt a lot of people, not just the person. There was a receptionist that worked at a business that I worked at that was an absolute sweetheart, and we flirted like a couple of teenagers, you know, just nonstop. I'm thinking I'm being cute and clever. I was. She was taking it seriously. She thought that I really wanted to get something going. I wasn't trying to hurt her. My head was so far up my own butt, I couldn't see straight. It's a cool deal once when you start putting this down on paper and all of a sudden you hear this sound. What was that? That's your head coming at your own ass. I cracked me up. Oh, my God. What actions of mine arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where was I at fault? What should I have done instead? Y'all got it? In these relationships, you just drop them down. Then all of a sudden, you start seeing this stuff called pattern. I keep doing the same stuff over and over and over again. I don't know why my relationships are never successful. I do now. I keep showing up the same way in every one of those relationships. Put it down, guys. I mean, that's the deal. I want to... I get this thing knocked out. And again, I'm not worried about the numbers, please. I'm going to find somebody that's going to do this fifth step. This isn't confession, folks. I know some people that want to... I'm going to do this with my priest. Unless your priest is in the program, and I don't know if you know how many are, but there's a lot of them out there. But this is a fact-finding mission, real quick, to wind this up, guys. This is a fact-finding mission. What I'm trying to do is get some information out of this. It's not confession. If all we had to do, guys, was dump this stuff, and y'all should see how uncomfortable some of y'all just got. Guys, if this was just about confession, then all the Catholics would be sober. I have some things, guys, and there's some things out there that I would not like to get out or whatever. If you have some of that stuff, if you want to do that little piece with a priest, that's fine. I had a guy I used to work with says, you know, I did my fifth step. I went down to the bus station in downtown San Antonio, and I got one of those little street guys, and I did my fifth step with him. I hope you tipped him. Sit there and listen to you ramble on forever and ever. Guys, this shouldn't take that long. You could do this the way that the book's supposed to be done. I mean, you're in there. I mean, longest, you know, 1 or 2 hours, you can get this thing knocked out. There's people out there, you know, we're going to set aside 10 hours and we're going to do that. Listen, let me see if I can get this straight. You're going to give, the big book says selfish and self-centeredness is the root of the problem. Yeah. Now you're going to give the most selfish son of a bitch on earth 10 hours to talk about himself. No, we're not. Okay. I want to sit there and listen to it, guys, but find somebody that's going to be unaffected. I had a sponsee one time that sat down and did a fifth step with me, and I was on the inventory. And it wasn't like, you know, okay, I'm resentful at Chris. And he gave me, okay, I'm number two. He got down to about number six, and I said, that's enough. I'm done. Well, I thought you could take it. You thought wrong. Go find another sponsor. I thought we were besties. You just hurt my feelings. No, really. Why would you do that? When I first got sober, there was a guy, a big old tall guy in our AA group, and he comes in. We're meeting every night at 6 o'clock. And he comes in, and this is on a Thursday, and he says, you know, I finally got my fourth step done, and I'm gonna do my fifth step this weekend. And, everybody around, you know, attaboy, good job. You know, that's good. And he says, yeah, I've set up this appointment. I'm going to do it with my wife. And that whole room did exactly what y'all just did. It's like, what? What? Well, my therapist thought it might be a bonding experience. Really? No, everybody said, no, absolutely not. That's stupid. Don't do that. Anyway, he didn't come to the Friday night meeting. He didn't come to the Saturday morning meeting. The following Sunday morning, he was still absent. We didn't see him. You know, like that. Anybody heard from, you know, so-and-so? And Monday, he comes in and his arm's in a sling. He got a big old shiner, you know. Yeah, this little English girl that he's married to, whipped his butt. And rightfully should. Why would you tell? It's like making amends to people, folks, that do that. Why do you want to make their load heavier by trying to make your load lighter? Shame on you. We're not there to do more harm. This guy didn't have much to do before, but now he's got some cleaning up to do. You know, so just don't do it like that. Try to do it with somebody that understands what you're trying to accomplish. From my inventory, what I'm going to get is a six-step list. They'll talk about it here in just a little bit. And we're going to get a list of our character defects. And I'm also, during that time, when I'm sitting there hearing somebody's fifth step, I'm writing down steady stuff, some amends that you might need to make. Because we're not going to wait 5 weeks to do this. We're going to get up and we're going to do a seven-step prayer, and then we're going to start working on these goddamn amends. I got a bunch. And I'm sitting there trying to help them figure out some of this. We can go back and over the next couple of days and put some, dot the I's and cross some T's. But most of the people that I resent, I owe some amends to, too. Not everybody, but some. And I'm making a little list like that. So if you've got somebody that understands what this is about, they can help you see your truth. My job in a fifth step is to make sure you see your mistakes in the fourth column. Y'all got it? I stole something from that store. Okay, got that check. I was harmed as a child. Okay, you see? Okay, got that. Next. Y'all, we're not there to sit there and do a therapy session. I got a list of great therapists I can hook you up with. That doesn't have to be me. Can y'all see that? Again, I want to keep it short. I'm going to wind this down. I love it when these guys... Okay, my cousin John. Well, he wasn't actually my cousin. He was married... It's kind of a long story. He was married to this... Yeah, okay. And, of course, we were away for a long time. We just called him our cousin. But I don't care. Nobody on the face of the earth wants to hear all these stupid details. Why are you pissed at this guy? It could go fast. My job. Come on, move it. Let's go. Some of y'all just like to talk. What the hell? And I'd say, keep doing it. It's all right. Love and tolerance is our code, folks. It was people in Alcoholics Anonymous that told me that. I got to tell you this one quick little story and let you go. I did my fifth step with my first little sponsor. It was so funny while I'm doing it. It took us a couple hours. And while I'm doing it, this big old, Texas thunderstorm rolled in. I'm a big weather fan. And I love a thunderstorm more than sex. And I didn't really mean to say that. But I do. It's just like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm thundering out there like that. And I mean, this is all God and stuff. Y'all follow it? Perfect timing. And I went home that night, guys, and I wasn't walking hand in hand with the creator of the universe. But I, like I said earlier, I felt a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. After 7 years in and out, I finally felt a part of this. I'm so grateful that I had a sponsorship lineage that was all about this changed behavior that didn't spend a bunch of time telling me what I couldn't do and started encouraging me what I could do. There was a horrible murder back in the late 90s over in East Texas. And there was a black guy that was killed horribly. And Texas has got some blemishes on them, but this was one of the worst. National news, on CNN every night. Small town, everybody knew who did it. There's three people that were involved. They were all convicted. I had the video one time. I don't know where it is, but there's this video on sentencing when they sentenced two of the guys to death. And after the sentencing, they were showing video of the mother of this old black guy that died. she got up. She's a big old lady. She got up. She walked across the courtroom and went up to the mother of the two guys that killed her son. And she put her big old arms around and gave him a big old hug. Everybody wants justice. This has never been about justice, folks. If this was about justice, I'd be in prison for the shenanigans that I pulled. This is about mercy. I'm going to go to God every day and ask God to grant me mercy, but I'm not going to be willing to grant you mercy. That ain't the way this is going to work. I go back and say it, folks. Every time I looked at that video, I wanted to cry. I'd rather see that sermon than to hear it. Every day we get an opportunity to show somebody love and kindness, even if we don't like them, even if we're not on the same page with them. It's okay. I don't have to be right all the time. You don't have to hear my point of view. We're all bozos on this bus, folks. We all get the right to make every mistake that we... I mean, come on. I get to choose who's going to be in my life just like you do. I'm just saying, folks, Don M. used to say it all the time. There's an AA code on page 84, love and tolerance. We get in there and we stop judging people, folks. And we do that as a result of doing this fourth step and dumping a fifth step and finally, for the first time, getting honest with some people. I do fifth steps, four steps with groups of men now. The more people that can know who I am, I got no secrets out there, folks, because it's our secrets that kill us. Bill Wilson talks about that dishonesty. If we get blocked, I'm going to tell you, folks, the one thing that you got to have in order to get sober is the ability to be honest. And my life is not... I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, and I'm going to tell you a little bit, Tara. I'm going to tell you a little bit about your father. Nobody's going to know the whole story. I'm proud as I can be to say there's a bunch of people in this room right now that know me in and out. They know exactly who I am. Warts and all. I know y'all think I'm perfect, but I'm... but I'm not. And I got to tell you this, guys, I'm absolutely delighted and about as happy as I can be to be here this weekend. And I hope I get a chance to see all of y'all later. Thank you.